This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
Okay, the scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, found on pages 780 to 781 in the Old Testament. Feel free to read along with me. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Now, this is our Thanksgiving service, and Thanksgiving happens on Thursday, so if you're not ready for it, you probably aren't going to be. And our scripture reading, if you are like liturgically inclined, our scripture reading is going to put you in mind not of Thanksgiving, but of Christmas. And I promise it's not like we have sold out to that whole giant, massive cultural trend where stores have been playing Christmas music since Valentine's Day. The reason we have today's scripture reading today is because we're following a lectionary schedule that follows the story of the Old Testament all the way from the beginning of the fall all the way up until Christmas. And this is just where we happen to be in this story. But that does mean, because we are sort of culturally where we are and the calendar is where it is, it means that we're looking for sort of a little connection here between this scripture reading and today's worship service. And I think the connection, a connection anyway, is here in verse 3 of the scripture reading. So I'll offer this up to us just to chew a little bit more on. This is like warm-up chewing. You'll need to do more chewing later on this week. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. This is the word of the Lord. God multiplies, God increases, God builds and grows and makes more of what God intends to make more of in our lives. That's part of the promise of this prophetic reading from the prophet Isaiah. And part of what you're going to do later on this week is I hope you're going to take some time to name some of what has increased, some of what has grown, some of what has become more in your life, some of what you are rejoicing about this week. And now, this is a really good thing to do. Psychologists actually remind us how healthy gratitude is, what amazing, wonderful things it does for our brains and for our lives. When we focus on gratitude, we actually become more secure in who we are. We actually become more able to be generous with those around us. Not only generous with our possessions and our material goods, but we become more generous sort of conceptually. We can allow other people to be who they are without that somehow being a threat to us. So if you were in contemporary issues this morning, or you will be in contemporary issues next Sunday, as we talk about that division that has developed between liberal Christians and conservative Christians, or liberals and conservatives on whatever spectrum you're talking about, part of the way to respond to that is with the kind of generosity that is born out of real, genuine gratitude for what God has done for us, for the blessings that we have received. So this week could be training for being better relational people. I just offer that to you. Now, we're not going to spend a whole ton of time really picking apart this particular prophetic passage, this moment in the life of God's people. But what happened in the life of God's people is, if you were here last Sunday and you heard our reading from the prophet Amos, Amos was thoroughly displeased with the way God's people had been behaving themselves. And it turned out that the way God's people had been behaving themselves had really disastrous consequences. It turned out that the way God's people had been behaving themselves eventually resulted in those people being conquered by a foreign power. And when Isaiah addresses the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, he's talking about parts of the northern kingdom of Israel that had been conquered. And as we know about history, when terrible violence happens, it's often those who are in, well, the weakest position who experience that violence most. It's those who have the least margin who are the most impacted by the consequences of the actions of those who are powerful or thought themselves in control. But Isaiah then speaks into that moment, and speaks into that moment about a light shining in the darkness. He talks about hope that springs up in the midst of what seemed like utter hopelessness. The prophets talk about how bad things can get when things are going really well, but then when things are going really awfully, the prophets are the ones who speak about God's hope in that moment. That's what prophets do. Isaiah talks about light shining into darkness, the kind of light that, well, that speaks the truth. That speaks the truth about who we are, what we have done, and what God intends for this world. And Isaiah is speaking about a light that gives hope in that moment. A light that allows us to see what we hope will increase and grow and become more. Because naming what we have received, giving thanks for what we have received, giving thanks like we intend to do later on this week and even later on in this particular worship service, it's not just about looking backward at what has happened. It's also a way of naming and identifying what we hope will increase, placing ourselves in the position of speaking out and acting out for the increase that God still intends for the world. So today, well, today I'm thankful for many things. I'm thankful for some of the things that we have already spoken about and observed in our worship service so far today. I'm thankful for these young folks that we have just presented with their very own copies of Scripture. I'm thankful for the gift of that Scripture that continues to open up hope where it didn't seem like hope could be, and that challenged me in the places where I've become too comfortable or too at ease with the world as it is. I'm thankful for the gifts of music and the gifts of relationships with our neighbors, whether our neighbors are being served by Cross Ministries or being served by our sister parish. I'm thankful for those connections, those relationships that we are called into as God's people in this place and in this community. Later on in the service, we're also going to rededicate our shepherds, those dedicated servants who reach out in love and compassion, especially to those who are most in need of that extra care on behalf of this church community. And I'm grateful not only for those shepherds, but I'm grateful for those that they serve, those priceless gifts of God's love in our life together, and for the opportunity to be in relationship with them. Light is not the only image that Isaiah uses in today's scripture reading. He talks about light. He talks about the destruction of all of these weapons and implements of war making. And then he talks about a child. He talks about a child as the gift of a future. And, well, as Christians, we tend to read that passage as if he's talking primarily and exclusively about Jesus Christ, whose birth we will celebrate in just a little over a month. And yes, I think Isaiah can be talking about Jesus, but he's also talking in a more specific sense and a broader sense about the promise of a future, about God's way of creating a new future among us. And it's telling, I think, that Isaiah then talks about this child receiving authority. Now, I have children. They don't receive a whole lot of authority right away, do they? And now even Jesus, who was a quite remarkable child, didn't receive a whole lot of authority right away. We recognize in his birth something other than automatically this is the only authority that is there. Instead, we talk about a different kind of authority when we're talking about children. We're talking about the authority that the future has. We're talking about making decisions and praying in ways that imagine a future that has not yet arrived. And so that authority is the authority that calls us to wonder about what we want to have increase. Calls us to wonder about what we want to be giving thanks for next Thanksgiving. That calls us to wonder about what the world might give thanks for next Thanksgiving or several Thanksgivings down the road. So this is an invitation to give thanks here and now in this moment, and it is a plea that we think about where we hope there will be Thanksgiving later on in the life of this world. What kind of world are we creating? What kind of hope do we intend to make real in the lives of those around us? And so when we come just shortly into our time of prayer, we will pray for what we hope will increase. We will pray for what we think God longs to see increase in us and through us. And today and this Thanksgiving and on the Thanksgivings to come, I pray that we will commit to lives of justice and mercy and hope for all God's people. In Jesus' name, amen.